Hour number two, welcome back in, Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. You can also watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video stream is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use their promo code THEGAME. We'll be giving you our Superbook picks of the day at 10:45. Got a little postseason hockey, basketball, and of course Nick will have his soccer parlay for us.
It's gonna be a good one today. I have a really good feeling.
Okay. He's been hitting them. So I would suggest tuning in at 10:45. You want to make a little extra money.
Last 2 weeks have been a little iffy, missing by one leg or so. But this week I feel it's gonna be safe. Be safe with it. It'll be good.
Okay. And this week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Beach Bend Park and Splash Water Lagoon Park is just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. Water parks are truly one of my favorite things
I've been there to
do. Really?
Yeah, it was like maybe 10 minutes from my house when I went to Western. So, oh yeah, Beach Bend. I remember, you know, Bowling Green loses like 20% of its population when school is out. So I remember, you know, for the people that would stay there during the summers, and I never did, but I would always go down and visit multiple times and go and hang out. Oh, just getting a cooler and waiting for Beach Bend to open up and drinking some brews in the parking lot and then heading in, having a good day in the sun. Oh, it's a great time. I highly, highly recommend going up to Beach Bend. It's a good time.
Okay, so if Junie gave you his he endorsed it for you. So there you go. Beach Bend in Bowling Green. But we've got a texter on the text line. I think he brings up a couple good points when we were discussing the DeAndre Hopkins situation. And I said that there is one reason I believe that DeAndre Hopkins could choose the Tennessee Titans, and it's solely because of Mike Vrabel. I mean, you just look at the way people view him, the way players respond to him. He worked with him when he was in Houston. Tim Kelly was his offensive coordinator when he was in Houston with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, Tim Kelly is now the offensive coordinator here, and Derrick Henry helps too as well, playing with him. But I want to get to a text we had on the text line really quick, Junie. And the texter says, but he's already getting the money from the Cardinals for this year, which is true. That 22.8 in dead cap money, that is still owed to DeAndre Hopkins. So it would help when bidding for him. He's already locked in with he's getting that money from Arizona. So Mike Herndon put out here on Twitter, and I think he put some interesting scenarios as to how they would go and get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. And this would be without redoing anybody who's on their current team's contract. So obviously that's one of the easiest ones. See if you could maybe restructure a Harold Landry or somebody else and push it back a couple of years. So Mike Herndon writes, if the Titans wanted to sign him and they didn't want to redo anybody else's deal, they could offer him something like a one-year $8 million deal with incentives that would take him to 12 to 15 and add a couple void years, this making his 2023 cap roughly $4 million. So you add that, he's getting the money from Arizona.
But
it all depends on where he wants to go because DeAndre Hopkins has the keys now.
He has the keys, and I think that the way, you know, he came out and said it. He's like, I want to play with a team that has really good defense because defense wins championships. I want to play for a sound front office, a good organization. But the number one thing that he wants and I think is going to keep the Titans out of contention is he wants to play a quarterback that wants to go and get a championship. And listen, everybody on the text line, like, I get it. Ryan Tannehill wants to go win a championship. What quarterback doesn't? Ryan Tannehill has a good head on his shoulders. He does it the right way. He's a great leader for this team. But in the eyes of everybody else outside of this city, Ryan Tannehill is not the guy that is going to go and get you Super Bowl. And even a lot of people in the city think that. So my thing is what is going to draw DeAndre Hopkins here? And you already touched on a few things. Played with Tim Kelly, you know, in Houston, and he put up good numbers in Tim Kelly's offense. Mike Vrabel was also on that staff in Houston, so he's familiar with him as well. They have Titans, when healthy, are really good defense.
Mm-hmm.
And the front office is known for being pretty sound, even though they did just hire a new GM. But, you know, the Titans here, as of late in the last, you know, 8 or 9 years, have had a pretty good front office and been looked at as a good organization.
They've been viewed as a good organization those last couple of years.
I just think the way that players and the media and the narrative surrounding Ryan Tannehill is going to be the reason why DeAndre Hopkins will not want to come here. Although the Titans could throw a little bit more money at him, I genuinely think he wants to play for one of those elite quarterbacks and really try and go for a ring. Because in any situation that he's ever been in, he hasn't really had that opportunity. Like, Houston's never made an AFC championship. When he's been with the Cardinals, they haven't won a playoff game. And so I think he genuinely wants to go and try and compete for a title because he's at the age where he knows he only has a couple years to try and compete and play at a high level, which he's still at. So it's going to be tough for the Titans to get him. I would be absolutely shocked if they did. It would be awesome. It would change the narrative really around this team.
Very quickly.
I just think it's so – I think it'd be so hard to do.
So, okay, so let's look at the teams and the quarterbacks that he did mention. He mentioned Kansas City. They're 32nd in cap space that they have, and the Buffalo Bills are 31st. So would it even – I mean, both teams barely have $1 million. Kansas City has about $1 million, and then the Buffalo has 1.6 in cap space. I understand you can manipulate things, but what is the likelihood – either of those teams would be able to, you know, get a deal done and actually go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. I understand, though, he's still getting that money from Arizona. And if a team like that were able to manipulate and figure something out for him, it would be more, it would be a situation that he would be willing to be more flexible for because he'd be playing with one of those top tier quarterbacks.
And again, if he were to sign not just a 1 year deal, but maybe like a multiple year deal, they could structure it in a way that year one's cap hit isn't as much and it's more incentive-based, you know, and then in the following years he could get a little bit more money, knowing that Arizona, with the dead cap that they have going on, is going to be paying him, you know, $22 million this year. So with all that being said, I think he's going to be a Kansas City Chief. I've been on record that I genuinely think he's going to be a Kansas City Chief.
But what do you think the opportunity for him would be there? Like, I mean, it's clear that Travis Kelce is the number one target there.
He would be the number one wide receiver, and then Kadarius Toney being the number two, I think would put them in a good situation. It's just, you know, even last year, the talent at wide receiver was not there for Kansas City. I feel like they think that they really need somebody, especially losing Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster, like – those were their top guys, and those guys are gone. They got to find other, you know, people to replace those. And Sky Moore was a little bit underwhelming last year. Can he take a big step going into this season? Maybe. But I see that in playing with Mahomes, you know, in Kelce. I see them as the team that likely would want him the most. He mentioned Josh Allen first. They could always use another receiver. They do have Gabe Davis and – Stephon Diggs as well. But, you know, nowadays when you're seeing, you know, teams like the Bengals and the Eagles, these teams have three legitimate receivers on their roster. And in this modern NFL where receivers are a lot more valued than they used to be, having another guy and having a you know, three really talented players could put you over the edge.
So we talked about Kansas City. I mean, they are, I agree with you, Jeannie, they are the one team that is an elite team, but they don't have a true number one wide receiver, right? We mentioned the Bills. They've got Diggs. We mentioned the Ravens. They now have OBJ. Herbert. Actually, I mean, the Chargers could be an interesting one. They definitely could be an interesting team that potentially could be he could be interested in. And Hurts, obviously, I just could not see the Eagles working out. I mean, they already have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, so.
I just think with the Chargers, they, you know, they have Keenan Allen, they have Mike Williams.
Yes, Keenan Allen. That's what I was
they
forgetting.
They just drafted what is it, Quentin Williams out of TCU in the first round.
Yes.
I don't know if they would go in and throw a lot of money his way because, you know, they were already talking about possibly cutting Keenan Allen. So if they're going to keep him, I don't see them bringing in a guy just to be, you know, have an astronomically stacked roster, well, wide receiver room, I should say, but when they have a few other holes that they need to really work on and fix as well on the defensive end.
I think truly what this comes down to is what is DeAndre Hopkins want? Is he just ring chasing right now? Is that what he wants? Does he wanna play for a guy that, you know, is a football guy and Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly? And does he care more about, you know, the culture and the day in and the day out and what the team is? Or does he want to go and play with a Patrick Mahomes who, I mean, any wide receiver one, I'm sure, wants to play with a Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, can the Chiefs even get something done like that? I mean, there's been rumblings about them trying to redo Patrick Mahomes' contract right now with the quarterback market skyrocketing. So what does that look like, and how does this play into, you know, what they're doing with Patrick Mahomes, who's their guy?
Patrick Mahomes, did come out this week, and I saw this quote, I think it was Thursday. He's like, I'm more worried about my legacy than I am I'm getting paid. Because, again,
and everybody should be scared, the fact that he said that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, for sure. And we're seeing this now with the elite-level quarterbacks. They're trying to follow suit with what Brady did. You know, Brady gave up money to put money elsewhere, and he won 7 rings. These guys,
Joe Burrow said it.
And I mean, look at Brady now. I mean, even after football, he's got a $350 million deal to go broadcast at Fox News. These guys are starting to understand that if I win and I'm an all-time great of my era, the money's going to come in other places. And these guys are growing and growing more mature. And I think the age of the quarterback getting these max deals and winning championships is starting to dwindle. I mean, we looked at it. The guys that are getting paid most in the league, they didn't even make the playoffs last year. Like Rodgers, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. None of these guys made the playoffs last year. And their teams are all kind of struggling financially. So we'll see where that goes. But if the Chiefs want to make it work, they're going to find a way to make it work.
Unfortunately, I feel like that is, looking around the league, one of the most obvious landing spots. And that team could just be scary again.
But I like I said, don't rule anything out of the question. You never know. The Titans could see this as a desperation move to try and sell the fans on this year. And if they do it, because like I said, I feel like for me, you know, being a broadcaster in this market, I'm probably more down on the Titans than majority of the other people. If this happens, the narrative is going to completely flip.
Completely. And I said to you earlier today, and it's been the question we've been asking on our text line, phone line, answer it. How different would you feel about this offense if they got a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We're going to go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman. Kenny, how are we doing this morning?
Good morning, friends. Thank you for keeping me company on a work day.
Of course.
First of all, great analysis a few minutes ago when y'all said if they really wanted this guy, they would have thrown a low round draft pick toward him, which would have locked him in at a lower price, and having to come here, it might have made him mad, but this would have been his starting point. They wasn't even interested in doing that. Now, there was a move this week that they logically could have made themselves a better team, and I guess they didn't even sniff around. They can't score. Scoring points is at a premium for the Titans. So when you have a chance to kick field goals, you've got to make them. Denver cut a very, very good strong-legged kicker. We didn't even sniff at the guy. We sat back, and guess who signed him? When you get signed quick, that means you still are good. Guess who signed McManus this week?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. So a team in our division got better at kicking while we still have a huge glowing neon question mark. And it was all, it could have been at a lower rate. So I scratched my head. You're talking about big moves. They don't even make little moves.
Kenny,
great listening to y'all.
Thanks for calling in today, Kenny. And thanks for working on this weekend. I think Kenny brings up such a great point, and I am completely on the same page as him, and it's going to transition perfectly. Junie and I are going to go through every single position on the offense, on the defense, and tell you, do we think they got better? Do we think they got worse? Or do you think they just stayed the same? Coming up next on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
You guys are going to trust us. You know, we're going to put players in here that are going to help us win.
That last part kind of goes back to the previous question. You can find ways to improve your roster. Free agency's over and the draft's over. Aren't those the places to improve your roster?
No, free agency's not. They're going to let us sign free agents Monday. They will. Chad will. Rand will. They'll let us sign free agents on Monday. Free agency is going to go all the way up until the season starts. There'll be players that are on other teams that will become available Monday. Take a look. It'll be real large waiver wire. We'll scour that. We'll continue to look for trade possibilities and opportunities. Chad and Vin will help us with the salary cap, find ways to open up salaries so that we can potentially sign other players. Now, there's
been a pretty good process here, and I'm excited about it.
Mike Vrabel, after the NFL draft, discussing free agents and guys they might try to go out and get. Welcome back in. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We just had a great call from Kenny the Mailman, and we've been talking a lot about DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, once he got released yesterday from the Arizona Cardinals, it's been the biggest news in the NFL for quite some time now on which team will try to make it work to go out and get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. We've talked about how they could make it work here, and like we said, wide receiver one, big, it's flashy, it's exciting, but Kenny the Mailman brought up a really good point on a kicker that was just cut from Denver and McManus, and the Jacksonville Jaguars go and sign him, a guy who, a position that you have been looking to find consistency at for quite some time now. And, you know, you and I have talked too, and I made a point on Chase Michelle earlier this week that with the type of offense you have and the way that your team is constructed, where your defense is winning you a lot of games and your offense is, I mean, last year I think they averaged about 20 points a game. Like, if you could get up to about 24 points a game, you're beating a team with your defense, but you need a kicker who can consistently get you that extra point, consistently can get you 3 points, because every point is going to help this team. You're not a team with a Patrick Mahomes who can just chuck it down the field, make plays, Josh Allen. You don't have a number one wide receiver like that. So that's why this kicker position is so incredibly important, Junie. So I guess we'll just start there, for better or worse.
So, I mean, obviously I would say worse because who we have now is Caleb Shudak, and he only played in one game last year, and he was one of one from 20 to 29 yards. And then from 30 to 39, he was 2 of 3. So he missed between 30 and 39 yards. Didn't even have the opportunity to kick between 40 and 49. I don't see this kid as the answer. I don't see it. I don't think he has the leg strength. I don't think he's accurate. I'm not a believer in it. So, yeah, Randy Bullock compared to other starting kickers is going to be, you know, bottom five. He might have been the worst. But he's still better than what you got right now.
Well, I look at Caleb Shudak, young guy, you don't have to pay him. Obviously, Randy Bullock's going to be a little bit more expensive, but it's still a kicker. Like, it's not a flashy, high-valued position. I mean, well, to some teams, they're valued more. But I think you could even throw a kicker in somewhat of a high-value position.
How many times in a two-minute drill does it come down to setting up for a final kick? We saw it a couple times last year, you know. They missed
Giants game, first of the year.
They missed in the Giants game and in the Chargers game. There was a crucial 51-yarder that Bullock missed that really could have, you know, changed the narrative towards the end of the game. So that was only, you know, two games for the Titans, and I think it's a little bit of an anomaly to only come down to two situations, because most teams have, you know, five or six of those situations in a season to where it comes down to the two-minute drill and in the final minute of the game where a kicker needs to go and seal it. So it's a big question mark. Kicker is obviously a huge question mark, and I'm going to go with last year being a better situation than where they are right now.
Well, and just quickly, one more point on the kicker. I mean, how many times were the Tennessee Titans in a game this past year where it was – you could win on a kick or you could lose on a kick? I mean, they were in that situation. They play close games. I mean, I think they beat the Colts 19-17 or earlier, 19-10 or something like that. Like, those are the types of games that this Titans team is winning. So when you talk about, okay, two-minute drill leading up to a kick to seal the deal, I agree with you. I think worse. I mean, I don't think Randy Bullock was, you know, great, but I think you definitely got worse without having him. We'll just go down the list. We'll start on offense here. Quarterback, I'm going to say obviously better. You know, Malik Willis in his second year, Will Levis added to the room, and then, of course, you have Ryan Tannehill. You already know what you have with him.
I'm going to say better for the quarterbacks as well. Just a much better room, more experience for Willis. You hit the nail on the head. Quarterbacks are better this year.
Running back, Derrick Henry, Tajay Spears, Hassan Haskins, Julius Chestnut.
I would take this year. I'm a big Tajay Spears guy. I think he is going to make immediate impact. I think he, as a guy that's a 1-2 punch with Derrick Henry, obviously Derrick's going to take majority of the load, but he's a change of pace guy. He's quick. He's a great receiving running back, and his change of direction and change of speed, it's elite. And if he stays healthy without the ACL, I think Titans fans are going to be eating their words about their criticism on draft night.
Hey, if you don't have an ACL, you can't tear one.
Yeah, that's very true.
I agree, though. I think Tajay Spears is going to be such an intriguing player and an intriguing weapon on the offense for this team. You know, whether you set up with two guys in the backfield, a Derek, a Tajay, I will keep wanting to say Tajay Sharp, Tajay Spears in the backfield. I mean, I think that, first off, not only his rushing ability, but his pass-catching ability, I think it's going to be pretty intriguing, and I'm going to say that room got better. Wide receiver, you've got 1, 2, and 3, Treylon Burks, Nick Westbrook, Akine, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore, Racy McMath, Colton Dowell, and then list goes on and on. But
can't forget Mason Kinsey.
Mason Kinsey, Reggie Roberson, which I actually saw in practice, and I said, who is that? Because his body, he's a big-bodied receiver, big-built guy, and I'm kind of looking at him to see what he does in training camp this year. This one, for me, I'm going to say stays the same. I don't think, and people are going to say, well, they had Robert Woods last year, but he really was a non-factor, and you were paying him a lot of money. And I think, and that's me betting on the fact that Treylon Burks takes a big jump this year, and based off his body language, the way he's spoken, what I've watched from him in OTA so far, I'm going to bet on that this group got a little bit better, just a little bit.
I'm still going to go with last year. And you say Robert Woods didn't do anything. He was still the leading receiver on the team. He's still a veteran. I mean, talk about the narrative that we spoke about prior to the season last year, talking about his leadership, his voice in the locker room.
Yeah.
Right now, they don't have a true veteran leader in that locker room, and I think that losing Robert Woods is a loss in that aspect. I totally get the money. I totally understand why they moved off from him, but I'm gonna go with last year's receivers.
Okay, tight end group. Chigakonkwo going to be your number one tight end. Josh Whyle. So those are going to be the two main ones. You obviously had Austin Hooper last year. This one is hard for me. I'm going to say they got a little bit worse because although we didn't see Austin Hooper as much as we would have wanted to early on in the season, last year, towards the second half of the season, he made some really crucial catches that ended up putting the Tennessee Titans in the win category for those specific games. So I'm going to put a tad worse. You obviously hope that Chigakonkwo, and I think he will take that step to be the number one tight end. But
Hooper still had a solid year. I mean, 450 yards. It's pretty solid for a tight end. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody brings up the loss of Jonnu Smith from a couple years ago. I mean, in his first year here, I mean, the yards in a season were comparable. So I would say the loss of Hooper is also pretty big. Josh Whyle, a rookie, kind of unknown. Not as great of a pass catcher. Slight frame. Don't know if he's going to be a great blocker. So I would say, yeah, it got a little bit worse than last year.
Okay, moving down to offensive line. Andre Dillard, Peter Skoronski, Aaron Brewer, Daniel Brunskill, PT, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and then some depth guys, Marco Jones, Dylan Radins, Corey Levin, Jalen Duncan, who was a later-round draft pick. I'm going to say they got better. I mean, I don't think you could get much worse than last year and the play we saw out there last year. But then again, you did have Ben Jones as the anchor, a veteran guy. How different will that look this year? And these are five new guys playing together that have never, I mean, played together on this offensive line. So Aaron Brewer and Nicholas Petit-Frere, but it really is a whole new offensive line.
I would say it just depends on the narrative onto what you're talking about. If you're talking about going into the season, I would say no. You know, when you have a healthy Taylor Lewan, you know, Nate Davis, I feel like, is better than both Brunskill. He's going to be better than a rookie Peter Skoronski. Mm-hmm. I think Skoronski's ceiling is obviously a lot higher than a Nate Davis. But when you're talking about Ben Jones, Nate Davis, and Taylor Lewan going into the season, I would say that the hype around the offensive line was better last year. But like you said, with what occurred and how it, you know, transitioned really early with the loss of Lewan, Jones going down, Nate Davis in and out of the lineup all year long, the offensive line is going to be more improved.
And I think we can easily agree that from week 18 last year in Jacksonville to now, definitely improved. Brad, stay with us on our phone line. We're going to take your call regarding DeAndre Hopkins, and then Junie and I are going to switch to the defense, go through which groups got better, which positions got worse, and which just stayed the same. Coming up next, I'm Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. Welcome back in. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical studios. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us on our ones and twos, and we're going to go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad wants to weigh in on DeAndre Hopkins quick. Hey, Brad. Brad, you there?
Hey, it's Tim, actually.
Oh, sorry. Tim.
Anyway, okay, hey, thanks. It's very nice to hear some local sports talk on Saturday morning.
Yeah, here's what thanks
I,
for listening.
Here's what I have to say. So I've been with the Titans from the jump. I'm a huge fan. But I've seen all these older receiver free agents come in, Julio Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember back to Yancey Thigpen, et cetera. Robert Woods, I mean, he was all right. But, I mean, I don't know why we can't develop our own receivers. I mean, A.J. Green was great. I don't know the front office and all that stuff, what happened behind the scenes. But, I mean, I'm not a big fan of bringing in Hopkins. Even, I mean, he was great. But I just think it's too much baggage now. But that's all I got. And thank y'all. I'm going to listen. All right.
Thanks, Tim, for listening. And we're here every Saturday, 9 to 11. So you get your sports talk fix. Have a great weekend. So that was Tim just kind of weighing in on, you know, him just being older in the league. I think that's a valid point. I mean, they did develop A.J. Brown and then weren't able to re-sign him. So they were able to develop a wide receiver. But, yes, at the time the Julio Jones trades, I was completely on board with it. It obviously did not turn out how you wanted it to.
Julio was 32, and that's a few years older. You know, Hopkins, a little bit younger. I think Hopkins still has at least two more elite years left under his belt, and, you know, then maybe he'll probably fall off a little bit. But it's to be seen. It's to be seen. And it also just depends on where he goes. So we'll have to see about DeAndre Hopkins.
But, yes, we are here every Saturday morning, Tim, so you get your Sports Talk Radio fix, 9 to 11 a.m., And moving on now to the defensive side of things for the Tennessee Titans, if I can pull up this depth chart here real quick. Okay, so we just went through the offense. We're saying if they got better, worse, or stayed the same. Now we're moving to the defense. Okay, let's just do the front, right? And I'll name Jeffrey Simmons, Tyre Tart. Tyre Tart is an interesting one, and I want to bring this up really quick before we go into this, Junie. Tyre Tart has not signed his tender yet.
Yes.
So what that means is he signed a waiver to be able to be at OTAs, which he was this past week. But technically, another team still could get him before he signs that. So that's something to kind of just keep your ears out for. I thought it was pretty interesting when I found out he hadn't signed it yet.
It is very interesting that he hasn't signed it. I think he's going to wind up signing it. If not, the Titans trying to come out and give him an offer, maybe like a little bit of a prove it deal, add a little bit of extra money. Because let's be honest, Tyre Tart had a pretty good season last year. And
remember that interception?
Yeah, and yeah, the tip ball that he ended up catching. Was that against the Colts? I think it was
against the Colts. I think it was, yeah.
In Indianapolis. But no, he had a really good play. He was really disruptive in the running game. I think they wind up, you know, reaching a bit of a prove-it deal. Tyre Tart's just not a name that a lot of people are going to know around the league, and I just don't think that somebody else outside of the Titans organization are going to value him as high as the Titans will. So I think he'll be there. But when it comes to the defense from this year to last year, obviously the turnover isn't as much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at the
We'll do front, and then we'll do inside linebackers, outside, and then secondary.
That's easy.
Okay, so front. How do you view that?
Front is the same. Tart, Denico Autry, Jeff Simmons. That's a stalemate. So I see that as exactly the same. Especially if these guys, you know, stay healthy, you know, they're going to play at the elite level that we saw at the beginning of the season.
I agree. You know, you hope Jeffrey Simmons, he was doing some individual work during the OTAs on Tuesday. So you hope that he kind of paces himself and is ready to go, ready to gear up for training camp.
I will say this, though. Denico Autry, as well as he played last year, he is getting up there in age.
He is.
And he did struggle with injuries at the tail end of last year. We need to be on the lookout to make sure that he's still playing at that elite high motor level that we saw last year. So something to look out for, but I'm still going to give, you know, Denico Autry the benefit of the doubt until he shows otherwise.
I agree, Junie. Just for perspective, he is 32. He had that knee injury kind of in the middle of the season last year, and we saw what that defense looked like without him. There. So you hope that, you know, an off season of rest and they're able to stay healthy this year. So, okay, we'll go inside linebackers next.
Hands down, last year it was better. I mean, I look at Azeez Al-Shaair, wasn't a starter. He was more of a rotational piece in there with the 49ers, which, you know, is number one defense. So I think he'll be solid. But when I look at Monty Rice, and he's also been a guy that has been in and out of the lineup with injury.
Yeah.
It just, it just pains me that the Titans let David Long Jr. go for the amount of money that he does. Like, I look at David Long, and yes, you know, Vrabel was sick of all the little injuries, and maybe he wasn't taking care of his body enough outside of the room. But when he was on the field, he was just a difference maker. It was the passing game. You know, he had the interception against the Commanders that sealed it. He's a former running back, and the way he could twitch and turn his hips and evade oncoming blockers to go and make the tackle, he was at times he was just playing at a different level. And having David Long, I know Zach Cunningham was banged up all last year, but he's also been known as a really good run stuffer. I just the high end level of play that the guys that were starting last year had are much better than this year, and I just think that's really going to affect what the Titans do best on defense, and that's stopping the run.
David Long Jr. is going to be such a loss for this team, Junie, and I said it in the offseason that Jeffrey Simmons was the number one guy they needed to get re-signed, but I said that David Long Jr. was right there second for him. He's a guy who was homegrown. He has and amplifies everything it means to be a Tennessee Titan. The deal that he got with Miami, I mean, it was a very team-friendly deal. The guy was a sixth rounder. I mean, he wasn't even making, I think he was making like $600,000. He wasn't even making $1 million. And it was a deal that he got with Miami that I wish could have been made here. I understand Mike Vrabel made those comments at the end of the year of the repeat offenders. But then we saw some comments from a columnist in Miami at the Miami Herald interviewing David Long and him being just really surprised by those comments and that he didn't stay in Tennessee. So I look at that position, that inside position as worse. I agree. Starting off the season with those guys, with David Long Jr., he was a difference maker out there. He really was. Switching to outside linebackers, Shuni.
I'm going to go slightly better.
Okay.
You know, last year, you know, we saw Rashad Weaver, Bud Dupree in and out of the lineup. I just think with Harold Landry, I think he will stay healthy this year. And I think that he will automatically be the best edge rusher out of the two seasons with his play this year. He's not going to be the double-digit sack guy this year. I think that's the expectations for that is way too much for him.
Unrealistic.
And then also, you know, getting Arden Key, I'm not as high on Arden Key, but I think with the opportunity to be a starter and not as a rotational piece like he was in Jacksonville, I think he can produce a little bit better than Rashad Weaver, and I think that he will be a better edge rusher and a more sound veteran edge rusher that's not going to, you know, not set the edge, because that's one thing that Weaver did that really frustrated a lot of people.
Yes.
Was he's strictly trying to go after the quarterback, didn't play the run game as much and allowed people to get on the outside. And as an edge, you just can't do that. So I will say this year with the depth and getting Landry back, it'll be better.
You know what I love about Arden Key? Arden Key came into this organization, and when they signed him in the offseason, he had a couple press conferences, and his personality and his voice is louder than life. We've seen what he's been able to do on the field in Jacksonville. What can he do now with maybe a bigger role, and can he live up to that? But when we were out at OTAs and just following this team in the offseason, when you're watching the defense, you always know where Arden Key is. Like, he is louder than life, motivating people. He is in it. He is ready to go. Like, you always know where he is. And I think his personality and his love for the game and his intensity on the practice field fits so well into this defense. And it gives me David Long Jr. on the field vibes. Right. I mean, it'll be different when we see Arden Key, of course, on Sundays. And what does it look like on game day? But I remember David Long Jr. specifically against the Chiefs and him and Travis Kelce going at it. He got in his head. And if you can get a guy like Arden Key like that, who just has that little edge and just really fits into this Mike Vrabel defense, he is probably the number one player I'm really excited for on this defense.
Interesting.
This year. Okay, moving to the secondary.
I'm gonna say they're gonna be slightly better.
And
I'm looking at it as, you know, Amani Hooker was dealing with a lot of injuries. you know, Christian Fulton being down in Miami, you know, working with some specialists on his hamstrings that that also worked with D-Wade and LeBron back in the day. So you're talking about him doing like a lot of like yoga, Pilates, trying to do some different routine things to maybe limit those soft tissue injuries. And that was the reason why he wasn't at OTAs. I did not have a big issue with him not being at OTAs because he was trying to deal with something that Vrabel addressed about him in the offseason. So I think they're going to be a little bit better. Also getting Sean Murphy Bunting, who I think will likely play in the slot corner position. Mm-hmm. The fact that him and Molden will be competing in that area and that they're also putting Molden at the safety position and making him more of a flexible piece, I think that's adding depth and mm-hmm. adding more versatility to the secondary. So I'm saying that the secondary is getting a little bit better than last year.
I agree. Molden had a pretty breakout year, too, in 2021. It was his rookie year. He wasn't effective last year with that injury. Talked to him the other day at OTAs. He mentioned getting some reps at safety. I agree with you. I think the Bunting was a good addition. You know, you hope Roger McCreary. He was a guy who was available every game. He had some rookie moments out there last year, but you saw his versatility. Obviously, you've got Kevin Byard back there, Amani Hooker. Christian Fulton situation, really quick before we head into the last segment. I understand. Yeah, great. Go work with the trainer in Miami. Deal with the hamstring issues. He helped LeBron, D-Wade. Awesome. You have all offseason to do that. At OTAs, you're in a contract year. You know the comments Mike Vrabel has made. You know how important it is to be there. You do that in the offseason, and you are in the facility on the first day of OTAs. It's just the way I view it.
Okay. I agree to disagree. Certain players go, certain players don't. I think if you're doing the right thing by not being at the voluntary stuff, I don't have a problem with that. But in totality, with the last two segments that we've done, I have the quarterbacks, running backs, edge rushers, secondary as getting better for the Titans and getting worse was the wide receivers, the Titans, or the tight, not the Titans, the tight ends, the inside linebackers, and the kicker. So it really kind of evens out as I went through this, and I was actually kind of surprised by it a little bit. So.
Well, and we talked about those high-valued positions. It looks like it's pretty much even that you have on there. Some of the high values got better, and then some, you know, got a tad worse. Gunner on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, you'd think the Titans would go 0-17 with all of Junie's takes on the positions.
That is, again, a lot of people are down on, because I'm more down on the Titans than most people. Like I said, I'm not down on the Titans. A few years ago when they were the number one seed, I actually projected them to be the number one seed. I try and set the reality of what I think. And I think sometimes people who are fans of the team, who have covered the team for a long time, kind of get the horse parallel lenses that, you know, they see the potential of what they could be. I'm trying to give the outside view of, here's what I think that they actually are. And I'm sorry if that's a little bit more negative, but that is just, I'm giving you my honest opinion about it.
In reality, it is May 27th, and no one knows.
No one knows.
They could be 17-0. They could be 15-2. I mean, you truly don't know. Rounding out the show, coming up next, we're going to give you our best bets of the weekend every Saturday at 10:45 from Superbook Sports. Coming up next, I'm Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, money, money.
You know what time it is? 10:45 every Saturday morning. We will be giving you our best bets of the weekend presented by Superbook Sports. Welcome back in to Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, and of course, our betting man, Nick Frazier, with us live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Rounding out the day, fellas, we love to do a little betting to round out the day and use our favorite Superbook Sports app. We have got the NHL, we've got the Dallas Stars, and the Vegas Golden Knights at the same freaking time as the Celtics and the Heat. I mean, we have no sporting events going on, and then the two games are at the exact same time. I don't get it.
I know that's a problem for some people, but, for me, I'm going to have them both on.
Mr. Two TVs.
Double TV'd up. Listen, Target's having a sale. And if you don't take advantage of it, I don't know what to tell you. So, either way, but I'm excited about both of these games tonight. I think the Dallas-Vegas game, I think it's gonna be a tough one. Is that the one we're going to start with?
Yeah, we'll start in the NHL. Okay, I'm sorry. That game starts at 7.
Oh, okay.
7 tonight, and then...
Still same time.
And then 7:30 is the Heat Celtics. So basically the same time. Yeah, let's start. Dallas Stars and Vegas Golden Knights. Dallas Stars plus 126 on the money line, and then Vegas is favored by 1.5, and the over-under is 5.5. So however you want to go with that, I guess, what are you thinking?
I like Vegas at home. I think this series could have been a lot different if Dallas would have won their two games in Texas, but I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be very low scoring. I see a 1-2 game, and I think Vegas either wins in the third or this game will go to overtime tied at 1.
I am right on the same page with you, Junie. I'm taking the under 5.5 for this game. I think the Vegas Golden Knights, they close it out, and we get a Vegas Florida Panthers, and neither organizations have ever won a Stanley Cup, so I always love that when a new franchise gets a cup. But I'm going to take I think the Golden Knights win. I'm going to take the under 5.5, but I'm going to take the Dallas Stars plus 1.5. I think that this game is between like a 2-1 game or something like that. So
I agree. I think it's going to be just a one goal game. It's going to be very physical hockey tonight against two really good defensive teams.
Nick, what are you thinking?
I'm taking the Vegas Golden Knights to finish out this series. I do like William Karlsson to get 3 shots on goal, which is plus 126, and Ooh. To be a goal scorer is plus 280. I just think Vegas, they should have closed it out last time. And also, people that don't know this because they don't see our schedule, but anytime I am either producing a NHL playoff game or just any NHL game, period, it always goes to overtime. So if you know if I'm here, just text me and I'll just like, yeah, overtime's the best bet to do.
Okay, and then what were the what are the odds on an overtime betting that?
Oh, that's a great question. Let me look.
Yeah, if you have that would be great because Nick is doing the game, so we could pretty much guarantee.
No, I'm not. No,
oh, you're not.
No, I am not. Oh, nope. Okay. I'm gonna gladly say no.
Okay. Okay. I thought that was your point there.
No, I was just kind of insinuating. I was like, well, you know, if somebody's here, I know it's not me, but plus 330, by the way.
Okay. Well, that's some pretty good value. I like that value.
I might put a little money on that.
Yeah, dabble a little bit on that. Okay, switching to the NBA side of things. I was so mad that the Heat didn't close it out in Boston the other night.
Why?
I'm just so over the Celtics. Maybe because I've been having an argument with somebody about is Jason Tatum a superstar? And I've just...
You don't think he's a superstar, or do you?
No.
What?
I think he's a star, but I don't think you can put him in that superstar upper echelon.
He just set the record for most points scored in a game 7.
Okay. Has he won a ring yet?
No, but he's also super young.
Okay.
I think Jason Tatum's a superstar.
I think that we so often...
He does come up short in clutch moments, but I mean... LeBron was like that for a lot of the beginning of his career,
and he struggled with that.
He's a superstar.
I just think so often we often give the superstar title, like we automatically see a guy, he's an amazing player, but we automatically, I mean, I only classify a couple guys as superstars.
Ever since he's been in the league, the Celtics have always been in contention in the East.
Yeah, he's a star.
And he's the number one player on the
star.
Team. Again, with those intangibles and the amount that he puts up for his team, if he has a good game, they typically win. If he kind of chokes in the moment, they typically lose. Like I put him as a superstar. He's not the high end superstar, but he is in that superstar category to me. But let's get into this game tonight. I am happy that we are having a game 6 because I would rather watch basketball than sit in here and have no basketball for an entire week because, you know, the NBA Finals, even if the Heat did wind up sweeping the Celtics, we were going to wait 9 days for the next game. So I would rather be watching basketball, and I'm going to take the Celtics to win tonight.
Really?
I just, listen, I think the Celtics are a better team. I think the Heat have a lot of pressure to them, and Jimmy Butler came out and said he guarantees a win. So if you guarantee a win, that's just adding even more pressure to the rest of your team. I know Jimmy Butler can handle it, but can the rest of his team handle it? Give me the Celtics. I think they're going to make it interesting because I think they're the deeper and I think they're the more talented team.
I think a huge part, too, is, and we were looking for this earlier, is Gabe Vincent going to play? You saw how much he was missed the other night in Boston. I think just the Heat looked really sloppy the other night. I mean, the Celtics had 33 points off of the Heat's turnovers. I think that that game, they looked sloppy. They looked slow. They couldn't handle the ball. I obviously mentioned Gabe Vincent, who's been a role player, who's been really effective in this series. And a question of, you know, Tyler Hero might be available to come back if the Heat advance to the finals. So that, I mean, that would be huge for them if they do advance. Mention the line. It's Celtics favored by 3. The Celtics have been the favorite in every single game,
I think, except for game three or four.
It was three.
But, I mean, these have been big lines. This is the closest line they've had.
Oh, yeah. And I think that this is going to be a tough-notch game. I also, the spread or the over-under keeps going down. And
209.5 right now.
209.5. It was 210 at the beginning of the show. So I like the under. I think one of these teams don't break 100 points. I think it's going to be like one of those 104 to 99
similar
games.
To the last
it's
game.
Gonna be I think it's gonna be a highly defensive battle, and they're gonna put a lot of effort and energy, because I'll tell you what, the Heat don't want a game 7 in Boston, Boston's gonna do everything they can to get that game 7 in there to try and make history.
Give me the Miami Heat plus the 3, give me the under 209.5, and give me also the Miami Heat plus 125 on the money line. Nick, give us your picks for this game and then give us your soccer parlay of the day.
Yes, I can definitely do that.
Football.
Yeah, couch, whatever, exactly. The world sport. Yeah, I like the Miami Heat in this game. Plus 3 is a gimme number. Just give me the money line along with you. I have a little heat wave parlay. Max Strus, 15 points. Three made 3-pointers from Max Strus. And Jimmy Butler over 7.5 rebounds. Miami Heat plus 3. And Jimmy Butler, 25 points. You put 25 on that, that wins 374.
Woo,
so,
I like that.
Good little cash.
I might be placing that right after we get out of here.
Also, correct score, I'm going with Miami Heat to win tonight, 112-97.
Ooh, okay, big win.
Ooh, okay.
Now, do you have an NFC parlay?
I sure do. They play tomorrow. I'll make it quick and brief. They just came off a cup loss, the U.S. Open Cup loss to Inter Miami CF. They beat them last weekend in a regular season game, and I just feel like the wins are not really in their favor for this game because they're playing Columbus Crew. They have a lot of possession for the most part, but they're in the 11th spot in the standing, and Nashville SC is 5 points out of the top. So here's my little parlay: over 1.5 goals, 7.5 over 7.5 corners, Nashville SC minus 1 on the corner spread, and just a little sprinkle, Jacob Schaffelberg to score a goal.
Okay, every day at 10:45, or not every day, every Saturday at 10:45, Nick will give you a nice little soccer
That's
parlay.
25 to win 238,
also,
by the way.
Also, the Columbus Crew just lost to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Exactly.
Which is the, what league is that? It's the USL. League below.
Yep,
the USL, which is the league below. So, you know, Columbus isn't that good. I like NSC's chances. And also, NSC tied in points for the second best record in the MLS. They're having an outstanding season. So,
I wouldn't be surprised if a clean sheet this weekend. That's all I'm saying. I hopefully they will, but we'll see.
Happy Saturday, everybody. And also, Memorial Day, remember what we are celebrating out there. Thank all the people, you know, who've served for this country. Remember all the people. Remember why you have a day off from work and you're on the lake or enjoying a little vacation. So an important weekend to remember. Good to be back in the saddle. Nick Frazier, Junie Riddle, I'm Michelle Knezovic. Every Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Happy Saturday, everybody. Enjoy your weekend, and same time, same place next week. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.